Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Imagine This, episode 3. Today's theme is Technology Solves Problems. I'm Kat, and with me today is...
Oh, I'm Gavin.
Gavin.
Did you forget my name?
Or
did you
want me to introduce... No, I wanted you to introduce yourself, but it's fine. And Gavin. Today we're just going to be talking about all the cool things you can do with technology to help the world and to make the world like a better place and using it for good. So Gavin, what ways do you use technology or can use technology to support problems or things that are going around in the world today?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, it depends on what your definition of problem in the world is, right?
I've
used technology to solve everything from me finding a cab to, IntelliSense and Visual Studio and the lack of a need for me to go and look at the documentation every 5 seconds. it really depends on what you do, but there is a lot of services out there that help national and international events. There's the program out that allows kids to learn vocabulary, and as they learn vocabulary and take these little vocab tests, they also ineffectually donate rice to kids in Africa who in developing countries and things of that nature. So there's tons of things you can do. How does technology solve problems? I think I talked about this in the first episode. It's really cool to find a problem that you have in your daily life that happens over and over again and find a way to automate it. And that can be done with code. It can be done without code. Good example. For instance, my mom gets very upset when I don't call or text in the morning. And I don't always remember to call and text in the morning, right?
Right. What?
I know. So one of my phones at the time had an NFC chip in it, and you can put these NFC tags across the house and stick it in. You can program your phone to do different things. So I kind of pseudo hacked this, it was a Galaxy. I hacked it, and every time I got up out of my bed, walked to the car, I put my phone on the dashboard in the same place like I always do, except now the NFC tag is there, and so it automatically sends a text to my mom, says, "Hey mom, good morning, I'm alive. and I'm going to work."
Nice.
And so, yeah, that is a big problem solved for me because now I don't have to be the subject of her grief and my ears are now ring free.
So. That kind of sounds like a really weird disease, like the ring, ear ring problem where your mom doesn't call you.
That ring. Thinking about ring in my ears, but okay.
Right. No, I got it. I completely agree with you. Finding problems every day around you that you think you might be able to solve with technology or using IoT devices because it's super bright in your house and the heating bill goes up or the cooling bill goes down, so you can automate like your blinds to come down, or social good. You can create like a community garden and use IoT sensors to kind of monitor like the watering or how people can use that garden by like checking different things in and out. There's a bunch of different ways to use technology. It's a matter of kind of finding something that you're passionate about in your community that you can do to make it better or easier for people. A lot of the times they're like, oh, I don't know how I can make it better. I want to do this elaborate thing. But like you were saying, even the smallest, like, oh, I just had a reminder about with my NFC chip. That is a great way to help. And it's this tiny little thing that you can do to just make everyone's life a bit easier.
Definitely.
And another great way of doing this is like a motivation to find something in your community that you can do to make the world a better place is through Imagine Cup. So that's the competition that happens where different students and people get together and create different hacks that they put together. And they submit it to the competition to win potentially $5,000. And I think this year it's in San Francisco. And you can sign up today at imaginecup.com/USA. And kind of take something in your life and community and see how you can add your little special take technology on it.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. So I think we've killed that topic. I think we've like done that. How this technology solves problems. We killed it. We're amazing. But next on the field for this theme is, what does technology mean to you and for the medical field? And the reason we're talking about the medical field today is because recently there was a datathon at MIT, which I and my coworker James Sturdivant had the pleasure of sponsoring and acting as mentors in. So before we go ahead and talk about the datathon, which we'll definitely get into, what does it mean to you, Kat, and like in medicine, what do you think, how does technology like directly affect you in medicine?
Well, directly affect me. I was actually kind of sick over the weekend, like very, very ill, to the point where, you know, I had to call the doctor. And it was great because I had an app on my phone and we just like pressed a button and then a nurse was right there. And I was like, hey, these are my issues. Do I need to go to the emergency room? And she's like, nah, you don't have to, but maybe urgent care would be something you should look into tomorrow. Like go tomorrow, definitely go tomorrow. So I have an appointment today because, you know, staying healthy and stuff is very important. So any sort of technology like that where you can reach medical assistance very easily is how I use it every day. And my mom is a nurse, so she's used to working in the medical field. And sometimes she's like, oh, I wish all of these things were automated for me so I could spend more time with my patients and getting to know my patients and helping them. Yeah. She's not a huge fan of paperwork. I don't think anyone wants to help people is a fan of paperwork, but but yeah, those are like little tiny instances that I've interacted with the medical field in with technology. But there's so much innovation that can happen and that is happening, and even more room for improvement for helping doctors and helping patients kind of get the best care needed.
Definitely.
And weren't you, yeah, and you were in at MIT for this datathon that was happening, right?
I was. It was awesome.
Yeah.
So the thing about medicine is that typically lots of these hospitals have loads of data, like just bunch of data. And not everyone knows what to do with it and how to make inferences on that data. So all it takes is, you know, a couple of people looking to solve a task, looking at these giant data sets and seeing what they can build with it, right? What inferences can they make on it? And if they can, are there any actionable changes they can make according to that? And so a bunch of groups set out to solve a bunch of different problems. Among many, one of the ones that stood out to me was in intensive care. The question was, is it actually beneficial for a patient to stay in the ICU for more than a certain amount of days? And is there any data that we can look at that says that, you know, the longer this person stays in the ICU, either the better he gets or the worse he gets? And that's something, you know, I'd like to know as, you know, someone who is accident prone and could be struck by a truck at any minute.
Yep.
You know, I'd be that guy that says, no, I don't care. I'll fix the leg myself. Just give me a day and I'm out. But there were a lot of really, really ingenious hacks going on. A lot of professionals, PhDs or PhD students who may not have had a tech background were jumping in and learning data analysis languages like R and Python and using Azure machine learning to really make some cool things. Yes, machine learning is awesome. And I tell students this all the time. Interdisciplinary learning and interdisciplinary projects are always really great for that reason, right? There's no reason that tech can't fit into every facet of medicine. And I also tell students all the time, so if you're a student, you're watching this, you should know that if you're a bio pre-med or chemistry pre-med or a health science student, you should take at least one programming class. That's my totally unbiased opinion. Yeah, so we've got, also we have footage of really, really cool things that happened at the datathon, as well as an interview with the winners of the datathon. Ooh, so we're going to look at what they did right now.
Should we do it?
Woo! Hackathon and a Datathon, they're very similar, but really with the Datathon, what we're trying to do is really focus on the data. So both hackathons and Datathons bring together diverse group of people. So we have students, medical doctors, computer scientists, and we bring together all these people and we try and solve problems. So we always will begin the Datathon or hackathon by identifying what the problems are, and we don't start trying to find solutions until we're really clear about the problems.
So we developed this tool called Parallel Patients in order to help new doctors to be able to find patients that presented with similar conditions to their current patient, and to learn more about what things are associated with that condition or those symptoms, what might happen in their future, and just general information that could be very useful for treating the current patient.
So our goal was to try to create a tool that would allow physicians and various providers to be able to access kind of like the collective knowledge of the hospital, find similar patients, and be able to learn from those cases in particular.
I think behind every technology are some people that came up with it, worked on it, developed it. It doesn't come out of nowhere. And so I think thinking of it as very handmade and evolving tool is kind of how I think of how technology can solve problems.
And we're back. I hope you guys should. Yeah, I was really excited, right? That was like too much. Whatever, we're fine. I hope you guys enjoyed that video, right? You saw the students that won the hackathon were, I believe, first year PhD students, and they were just awesome. Going on and doing awesome things, right? Just the goal of this is just to talk about how tech can be pervasive in other aspects of other fields, right? And it's really, really useful to know these things, and it really gets the imagination going, huh?
Imagine. I see what you did there.
Yeah, shameless plug. So I hope you guys enjoyed it as much as I did. Kat, did you enjoy it? I don't believe you.
I mean, it made me wish that I was there with you. So I did. I did enjoy it. But yeah, I hope that you guys like take inspiration from this, like kind of make friends in other fields and see how you can help them. If you don't have an idea in your community, maybe someone else who doesn't have a computer science background has a really great ingenious way of improving the community. Reach out to them, ask around, see how you can put your skills to use, and have fun with it. But yes, thank you for watching another episode of Imagine This. Go out, solve problems, do the things, and we will see you next time. Bye.